Detective, Night Country, Episode 4 is over. But here on Post Show Recaps, we are just getting started with the deep dive of True Detective. My name is Grace, but of course, I'm not alone. Normally, I am joined by one Jess Sterling, but she is in the titular Night Country this week. So instead, Marissa Garza is here. Marissa, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Apparently, we are all in the Night Country now.
That's true. We're all in the Night Country. Jess is just further in the
part,
Night Country.
Oh, yeah, different part of the Night Country. She's in some ice cave or something.
Dangerous.
Be careful, Jess. Come back to us.
With some whale bones. Yeah. Who knows? Jess will come back. Jess will be back next week. Just needed to take a little bit of some time away. We are doing the deep dive. Yes. Dr. Manj and I got together for the recap right after the episode. And then Mike Bloom and LaTanya will be doing the Versus pod this week. Make sure everyone is subscribed at postrecaps.com/truedetective, and you can also watch us on YouTube at youtube.com/postshowrecaps. I've talked a lot about True Detective Night Country, so I'm going to give the floor to you, the ice to you, Marissa, to ask you how you have been enjoying season 4 of True Detective : Night Country.
Well, I've always wanted to be an Olympic ice skater, so I will gladly take the ice. Thank you so much. I have really
careful for the big pile of dead bodies
of
that we put in the middle of the ice.
It's like part of my routine. That's okay.
Good. You like skate, you like tumble over
around
it. Be cool.
It. Yeah. It's an artistic piece about their pain and suffering. So, but in regards to this show, I have been enjoying it. I watched the first season of True Detective and then I've dabbled in and out, but the season really. Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch it. And it's kind of like, it's reminding me of Mayor of Easttown, a little bit of Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
You know, and that also that show, and I was going to look it up and I totally forgot, but remember that Andrew Garfield Mormon.
Under the Banner of Heaven?
Under the Banner of Heaven. Yes. I'm getting those type of vibes from this as well. Like the whole spiritual versus realistic type of world and there being a murder. It's very interesting to see Jodie Foster back on my screen in a television role. And, you know, and she's definitely Jodie Fostering it and everyone's meeting her where she's at, which is fantastic. So that's been really cool to see. And I think it's been some really good storytelling. So, I mean, I know every episode is going to end with a big zoom back. So I'm always prepared. It's very consistent.
The radio call that's like you gotta see this, and then they go and see something that they did not think they were going to see. Is that what you mean? I've been saying that the balance of the show has been really good, but I do think one of the things I've been pointing out is that it does feel like in episode one we sort of are the first thing we see other than the caribou is the T'Sol research station men, and we're in their environment and something obviously happens, and then we kind of leave there and we get to meet Danvers and Navarro and the rest of our cast and crew, and sort of each week at the end of the episode we get like one more thing about the research station, but we've been mostly focused like elsewhere, either on like character things, story, the town, or some of the Annie K stuff. And so I feel like this has been a smart tool for them because we are getting like new information, and then they give us like one new big piece of information each week about like the central mystery of the show, which does seem to be the research stations. And with it only a 6-episode season, I think that works for this show. I'm not sure if it would work even like in a 10-episode. I feel like I'd be like, give me more, anymore. But I think it's working thus far. I do feel like this episode probably, I think, has been the most polarizing thus far. I think this is the first one that I was seeing that had some people didn't fully love it. I think I saw Joanna Robinson on Twitter say it wasn't her favorite of the show so far, which again, only 4 episodes. I know in the Discord, there are some people who are feeling uneasy a little bit about some of the ways the show's going, but what'd you make of episode 4?
I think it definitely got a little messy. There were some things in this episode that I could see coming.
Yes.
And I think that was by design, but in terms of how it was executed specifically, you know, the what Julia's storyline was this episode by dying by suicide, like that was kind of not handled in the best way possible it can be, which
I'm gonna give a content I'm gonna give a content warning at this point that like I know this, you could put a lot of content warnings on this show specifically. I think we're gonna dive into Dying by Suicide, and specifically why this betrayal, I think, was just not good. But we're going to sort of talk about it more in depth. So just a content warning for us as we move forward.
Yeah. Thanks, Grace. I feel like also, like, while that was, this is, always sounds callous when you're talking about it from the third person, but like, was needed for Navarro's storyline. Like, this was needed to move it forward. So I'm grateful it came now in episode 4, not that we only have 4 episodes or 2 episodes left, because she's going to have some sort of reckoning with that, and it's going to come close to the conclusion. So how that all ties in is kind of interesting to me. I think that it could have definitely been handled better, but this was kind of a slow-ish episode. I also didn't love Danvers going into a drunken stupor, and like, I need to know more about her as well to understand her motivations there and why she's doing the things that she's doing and how that helps her be a police chief. Like, you know, hopefully we'll get some more of those details. So I feel like episode 4 was kind of like the slowdown before we're going to speed really into the end.
Yeah. It's always tough when we, again, like I made a joke with somebody today about like, the plight of the podcaster, but it's like, yeah, we do have to come on here after like each episode. Like, we are choosing to come on off here after each episode. And this is one that like, the story's not done yet. So it's like, right, in this individual episode of television, like, yeah, I would agree that I think it's probably the least clean. Like, it's the messiest of any of the 4 episodes we saw so far. But there's a chance that this episode is well served by the next 2 to come. And like, there's a lot in here that like is important. I think, like Julia, and I just want to preface this, I do think that I agree. I think Jankinator puts the words best in terms of what I think is poor about the betrayal, which is that he says Julie's suicide really took him out of the enjoyment that he was enjoying this season. It feels like a cheap play. Julie was never given enough to be a substantive character in her own right, just backstory for Navarro's character. And it makes the mental health and native aspects of Julia feel exploitative tropes rather than substantive facets that make for a complex and rich character. And I think that that's true. I think that this story can be one about Navarro. Jodie Foster has said on the HBO pod that she took this role because she saw it as a way to uplift the story of Navarro. And so I think it's an important lens in which to look at the show, that it's Navarro's story. I think that you still, so I agree with you that like it to be the sibling of somebody who takes their own life, who dies by suicide is a thing that happens. It is the way in which some people have unfortunately have had happen to them. And so that can still be an important piece of someone's character, even if that thing happens over the course of the show. But I would agree that like the only times we see Julie are either her in just like a not great state, or literally in like the horror aspects of the show in which she's seeing her mother. And I think, you know, there was some chatter in this as well from Fitzy about like being cautious about connecting Julie's death. And it's supposed to be because of what Rose says about like, don't confuse mental health with the supernatural. I think the show wants us to connect these two things. Whether or not we'll find out that they are actually related or they are not related, I think is yet to be seen. But the fact that Julie folds her clothes, she sees the orange, she's seeing presumably she's being haunted by her mother. And now
she sees the crucifix.
The crucifix, and now I believe Navarro is being haunted by Julia. So I think that the show does actively want us to connect the two. And I think it is confusing to have Rose in the beginning say like, you know, don't confuse mental health with seeing ghosts. And I have a lot more to say about Rose later, but I think that Julia's portrayal, like if we got more from her, and again, this is the thing of like, it's a 6 episode season, you know, even if it was longer, like, you know, but there's just really nothing to Julia other than that she's Navarro's sister and that she's struggling because her mother died, and therefore she's having these mental health crises. The other side of this is just like the logistics of everything that happened. I think it's I can't remember who it is. I'll try to pull it up as we're talking, but just like the fact that she was just able to walk out feels not great, even if it is like, you know, self-admitted.
Like a voluntary situation.
Yeah, it's voluntary. And then the other piece is like how quickly this all happens, that a woman is identified by the Coast Guard the same night that she walks into the, even though she's like, it's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, but it, like I'm willing to forgive it because it's like the time of the show. But yeah, I just maybe wish we got more from Julia before. Ultimately, this, I think this still can happen in the show. This can be the story of somebody who is struggling with something that ultimately leads her to die by suicide, and how that impacts her sister and her sister moving forward and all these supernatural elements. But it does feel like we never really get to know Julia.
And that's the thing with suicide. It's often stigmated as like people just wanting a way out, or not being able to handle something, not being able to reach, not having resources, things like that. And all of those things can be true, but we don't know Julia's story here. It does kind of seem like a plot device as opposed to a character portrayal. Like, this is Navarro's story. I totally see that. I see that in how Navarro navigates the world. I see that in terms of her discussions with Danvers, what Danvers like reflects back to her. Yeah. Is definitely, you know, putting the spotlight on her. But I do really wish that we got some more from Julia, because this is something that happens in real life, and we don't need to be making any, the less vague that is for people, the better. And I know that that's also part of Navarro's story. So I think they're like walking this line of, we don't have enough time. We don't know how to really make this. If we make this if we give Julia more, are we making it about Julia, or are we making it about Navarro? And there might have been a choice that had to have been made at that time. We don't know. They could have had, like, I'm sure the actress who played Julia has like a whole storyline of, you know, this character's development that we just never ever got to see.
The other piece too, I wonder, is in the making of a mystery show. And I say this not to like excuse the show, just in where I think the decisions were made. And I think there's better decisions that they could have made. But the other piece is that this is a mystery box show. And so the more you tell us about Julia, who potentially is extremely involved in the solution into figuring out what happens. Like, the fact that I've been very interested that the show has actively chosen to put title cards on the screen to tell us what day of night it is. Yes, which you know, December 25th, like eighth day of the night or whatever they say. And whether or not that matters to, and I wonder two things. I wondered whether it was to give us stability so that they could then play with us of like, well, that thing didn't actually, like, yes, the scene where the title card is, where like, you know, I think at the beginning of last episode, it's when like Navarro sees that Hank brings all the like goons in, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like December, whatever, December 25th. I think that, or 24th or whatever. I think that, and then to then subsequently, like, if there's scenes where it's like not like to sort of lull us into a false sense of security, like we know what day it is. And then, you know, I wondered whether in episode one with Travis, like, was all that stuff that was happening, was it at a different time? Ultimately, that's not true, because he shows us the bodies and Rose is there. So to lull us into like, oh, you think you know what day it is because we've been telling you, but we never, in this episode, we never told you what day it is. Or is it so that at some point they can like flash up and be like, this happened like 6 months ago. This happened when like Annie did, right? So they'll put a title card up for a completely different time to then, because that's the thing that they've been doing. So I was wondering why it was there. And I do still think there's a chance that like, in the next two episodes, I don't know, I haven't seen them, but we could get more insight into, like, Julia dying doesn't mean she has to be off the show. First of all, the show is playing with ghosts.
Exactly.
It seems like she's like haunting on Navarro. And my big theory, and I don't know if I articulated this well enough on the pod, was that this is a little bit of like, there's a curse thing happening where like, if you experience someone who's dying, you might get lulled into this like thing that's happening. And it might be reflective of your mental health state, how you are seeing or responding or interpreting ghosts that visit you. So Rose seemingly in a good enough place that she's going to throw herself a Christmas party and dress up. Like, her seeing Travis is like, oh, he wants to tell, oh, he's shown me the dead, but okay, cool, you know? Whereas like Julie, who's struggling with the fact that her mother died is being haunted by her mother. Now Navarro, who is being is haunted by the fact that her sister died by suicide, is now being haunted by her sister. Raymond Clark, I suspect, potentially was being haunted by Annie. So all that to say that I don't know. I don't know that we're done with Julie, and I would maybe my like one little, and I'm not trying to give the show credit. I'm just like, oh, it'd be nice if this happened. Is that like there could be a flashback scene? There could be something that unlocks something for us in terms of like Julie's place in the show that hopefully gives us maybe more than what we've seen so far. But if this is it, I would agree with people that I don't think it was great representation of what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to wait to see how it plays out to make a final call on that. But as it stands, not great. But to your point, in terms of your theory, there is a lot of trauma in this town.
A lot of trauma.
Yeah. There's a lot of trauma. And the brain doesn't know how to handle that all the time, you know? Uh-huh. And so I think part of what the show is sort of playing with is like, how do you interpret horrible, horrific things that happen to you? And to the theory that you were talking about of like the person reacting to the ghost in the way of their mental state makes a lot of sense to me, because if I'm cool, calm, and collected and know that like I'm gonna die one day soon, I'll just be like, oh hey, look, it's Travis. I'm just gonna go over there. I'm gonna say hey. But if I don't have answers to things and I am, you know, still kind of traumatized by what's going on, I'm gonna have a much different response to that. So I think that all comes to this whole conversation around supernatural versus what actually happened, like facts. There's a reason why this is a police story. This is a reason like why it's a procedural, because you're always looking for facts, but here the facts are murky. And I know a big conversation in 2024 and has been before, but like what is actual truth? Mm. And so I feel like the show is kind of playing with that a little bit.
One thing I struggle with a little bit is like how much I need there to be definitive answers why something is happening. And I've basically asked like everybody that I asked, I think Sarah and Jess this last week, and I asked Amanda, like, how important is it for you, Marissa, that at the end of this show, do we need like confirmation that Navarro hitting her head is the reason she potentially is having hallucinations and why she's seeing things? Do we need that? And part of this is me wondering how much I am sort of settlerizing and colonializing like belief systems onto that whether or not like Inupiaq, if Inupiaq people believe that you can see, and you know, I do think interestingly, there are not that many people on the show who are saying they see ghosts. And actually one of them who does say she sees ghosts is also is Rose, who's like talking about this when she's talking to Navarro, but she is also not from this place, and neither was Travis, although he was like, we talked about this, he was affected by it because he got cancer, but he's not like indigenous to this right. place. And so I keep debating in my head, like, I think I do want like super concrete answers about like why people see ghosts. And there's been like, these theories that we've thrown around about like the mine polluting the water or this, you know, so people are like hallucinating.
Are you sure we're not watching Yellow Jackets?
We might be. But then the other side is like, is that fair of me to expect that or want that from the show? And if I don't get it, am I then going to be upset with the show? Even if the show, like, I think I want to understand part about like, but I guess I'm not feeling like a lot of the supernatural stuff that is happening is necessarily people voicing that it is cultural. The only person who's really doing that is anybody doing that? Rose, to a degree, I think, would say like Ennis is full of ghosts. Like people is full of these things. And like, and Danvers is saying that stuff to Navarro in a derogatory term.
Navarro, right? Has said it's a curse.
It's a curse. But Danvers is saying the stuff of like you and your spirit in it, which is funny because got visited by a polar bear, right?
And it happened before. Like, because in that flashback we saw, she's like, you saw something. I know you did.
Isn't that funny that she's like, the dead people are dead. There's no dead. They're gone. We're just here. Also, yeah. Well, you totally saw a ghost, huh? Which I think she's trying to pull out an admittance from Navarro that Navarro thinks she saw a ghost. That's like Danvers' interpretation. Like, you think you saw things. Even if I don't believe you actually saw it, I want to figure out why you think you saw a ghost, right?
Well, because Danvers is all about asking the right question, right? Like, and if the answer to that question changes, she's like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a long way of asking you, like, how much do you feel like you need an explanation for why the things that are happening in the show, which is mostly, I think, supernaturally right now, it's that people are seeing ghosts, people who have died. How much do you need an explanation of whether or not that is actually happening, or whether we leave it upended as like, people say they see ghosts in real life too?
Yeah, I left this episode particularly saying we're never going to know. That was my takeaway out of this.
Are you happy with that, or you're not happy with that?
I'm
or
you're, okay or you'll with see. It. You'll see. I mean, we'll kind of see. I think this is not a linear story, and so I think we'll have
to
see
how
it plays.
Yes.
And time is a spiral. Like, uh-huh. I could get into that whole like metaphysical conversation, but like, I do think that we're not going to have answers, and I'm okay with not having answers, but there are, like, I just need to know that, like, it was a supernatural force that did this thing, or it was not. Like, if it was a killer, how'd they do it? If we can't explain it, tell me we can't explain it, but if we can't explain it, explain it.
I think I'm pretty upset with the show if we never find out how people died. I think yes. Those are the two. I think how the Salal research station men died and how Annie died are the two things that I absolutely need the show to give us an answer for. I think whether or not people really see ghosts or not, I don't think I actually need to know. Like, my theory last week, or I think I said this on the recap. I can't remember. I think I said on the recap is that because the person who is awake is Annie. Mm-hmm. Raymond is haunted by the fact that she was killed, probably by some the Salt Research Station people, miners, somebody we've seen on the show. There's a suspect we can talk about. He's obsessed with this, like, the symbol, which if you know, in season one, it has to do, although there's some controversy about, have you seen this about the creator of the show sort of dismissing the season, which I think is like not fun. I don't like this really, but he thinks it's very silly that they're connected because he didn't really have anything to do with this. She has come out and been like, I get it. Everybody make your own thing and you kind of don't want people to touch it. And it's, you know, I understand his perspective. I'm trying to find the creator of the show. His name, Nick Pizzolatto, made some comments on Reddit or Instagram, I think, that were like, yeah, a little bit dismissive of the season, which I think is unfortunate of the like thing, but whatever. Anyway, so then it makes me think, like, how connected really can they be, or are they? But I think Raymond basically then kills everybody in the research station because they're complicit in killing Annie or covering up what's happened to Annie. So she's awake is what her, the only people who are hearing she's awake is like Navarro, who we're now seeing is now like, you know, also, you know, Julia is awake, you know, she died, but now she's awake. Right. So that is where, that's sort of my like leading theory, which we can get into then to the end of the episode. So all of that to me has an explanation for how she died. Mm-hmm. Why they did it might be because something supernatural is occurring that they believe in or don't believe in, but it doesn't matter if Raymond killed all the scientists. It doesn't matter if he did it because he thought he saw a ghost. He did it.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, and that would be enough for Danvers, but like, maybe not or not for Navarro. And if this is Navarro's story, where does that lead us?
Yeah. Yeah. So the big suspect on the board this week, is Kavik. And the biggest piece of evidence is seemingly that he took the stone. It does
it's
seem
not
like
the SpongeBob toothbrush.
So Juvenile is the toothbrush. He so when she is beat up and she comes to see him, she finds the stone. He puts it down, and there's some, I didn't really go back to look to see whether he seemingly like takes it again. I don't think he does, but the idea is that like he is now in possession of the stone. Mm-hmm. And although he's pretending to not know it, because I think the thing with these shows, Marissa, is that you need somebody who you know. And more and more as we're going, like, they have, like, yes, they introduced us to what is this guy's name? The blind man, the map, the map guy. Otis?
Yeah.
Otis. Like, yeah, now we know Otis, but did Otis do all the killing? I, 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 Probably not. I don't think so. And if you introduce someone next episode, do I think that they're like, no. So you are, you know,
it's usually someone from the beginning.
Yeah. So now we're like, we kind of have our people that we know. We have like, Peter, Hank, Kayla, Leah, Eddie, Rose, right? So like, we kind of have to, I think, like now, like to look in. And so I think people are feeling like, well, like, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's him. Maybe he's involved in some way. And this him maybe being in possession of the stone is a thing that I think people hung up on this week on Reddit. But I don't, what do you make of this? Would a Kavik turn, heel turn? How's that feel?
I would be so upset for Navarro. Like, she's been through so much.
But it's Navarro's story.
Right? It is Navarro's story. I know. But like, if it is him, I hope that she ends him. Like, that's
you want him dead?
Yeah, that's
you'd like his tongue?
Yeah.
On a platter? No.
Can't think about it. Yeah. But I do think it is interesting. I do think he has the stone. I think he recognized the stone when because he was like, where'd you get this? Like, what is this? Yeah. And it wasn't just like, you know, he for a moment was not concerned with her health and safety, given the fact of the state that she was in. He was like recognizing what was in front of him. And so my biggest thing, especially after this episode, is like, what is the effect of this stone going to be? Is it going to be something that Kavik like turns, or is it going to be something that has an effect on Kavik? And so I don't know, but or is like Navarro gonna like go look for a fork and find a bunch of spirals everywhere? I have no idea.
I feel like it's a maybe potentially a bit of a like a MacGuffin here of like put the stone in Kavik's possession so that now Navarro's like, oh my god, he has the stone, and now it's a reason to go back. There's many reasons why she might go back to him, but if she's in the middle of like this whole thing, this investigation, and as pressure is happening, like, okay, I need to go get the stone from Eddie, and then like, oh my god, where is he? He's actually gone to the ice caves or whatever, you know.
Well, it feels like it's going to take her a while to remember, because she couldn't remember when she was like, oh, where was it when she went to Danvers' house?
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I don't have it. And then she had her experience in, I got to tell you, the scariest building. I never want to be in a building like that ever in my life. I do not like dark, big, open, noisy places where I cannot identify the noise. So
wow, that's
FYI, Grace.
As being a guest on this pod, I booked you a trip to the Dredges.
Oh, thanks. I'm going to have to decline.
It's a three-night stay at an all-in resort called the Dredges. You know, interestingly, Navarro's ear was bleeding at the end of this episode. And she does get screamed at by a ghost.
She does.
And I mean, she's also hit her head.
She's had a rough go,
and she got beat up. Yeah. So she's not in good shape, and there can be many reasons why your ears are bleeding. But one of the things I saw people thinking about was all of the men's eardrums and Otis's eardrums seemingly were blown out as well. And so whether or not the idea that any of those people had their eardrums burst because a ghost screamed in their face. I mean, I guess that's what we're thinking, but like, yeah, she's bleeding from her ear. And I think that's not nothing at the end of this episode.
I'm just going to throw this out there.
Yeah.
Do you think she's possessed with something?
I definitely think she could be. I definitely think like the theme of like, we've had this theme of like contaminant of like, or at least a theory about like water contamination things. And like the dredging up the parasite, right? That's what the cell research station are doing. She's awake. Like I definitely think it could be like that. But I think for me, possessed versus like, I guess infected are the two different things. I mean, I guess she certainly could then be. I don't think it explains like Julia or Ram. Like,
sure, it could be an evolution of what's going on. Like the way that she was sitting there, her eardrums bleeding, and then she like very slowly turns, and her eyes were looking weird. Yeah. So I don't know what that means yet because we haven't seen the next one. But there was something there.
I think I wrote in my notes. I think I wrote it as like she seems possessed. I think we'll find early next episode. And again, I don't know. My instinct is like she'll snap out of it at least for a bit. And it's more like she's like haunted than possessed, I think. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
She's thought and she's like in shock, and that's why she's like looking at Danvers in this way rather than like being, but she certainly, I mean, this could be what happens when you, when this stuff happens, is that you like, that's why you fold your like, and it could come in ways, because like when Julia's like, when Danvers sees her, when she's like undressing herself in the street, like that's, she's not like then folding her clothes. It's only right. in this moment where she leaves the thing and she's sitting, and she, after she calls Navarro, that then she then does this more ceremonial version of what she's
like
doing.
Leaving life. Like she was like putting her things in order, like very literally.
Yeah. But possessions are, I mean, the other theory is Fitzy says Dr. Amanda mentioned sacrifice on the pod on Sunday, and wonder if it's worth considering more, that does Ennis, like, is it demanding a sacrifice? We know that this is where like the seams of the earth are coming open, as Rose says. Again, I think potentially we've talked about Navarro being an unreliable narrator. I want to talk about Rose in Ooh. A bit, but is there something that needs to be done to balance the living and the dead? Is this a thing you think could be a theory, Marissa?
I mean, if I was the earth, the planet Earth, I would be very upset at those miners, and that miner lady has like some sort of beef with Danvers, and we don't really know 100% like what's going on there, and she's there, and then also there was the graffiti of miners are murderers. So if there is some sort of like thing that the Earth wants to like get revenge on,
yes,
it could, it be, again, I know this is a Marissa pod, I've already said trauma, and now I'm gonna say capitalism. Maybe it's capitalism, like I don't know. Like if that is, there's more to these mines, like they keep being talked about, again this is not Yellow Jackets, but they keep being talked about, and that lady is there, and she has some sort of beef. There's some sort of history, some other story that we don't know. So if there is like some sort of sacrifice, balancing of the things from a supernatural or energetic standpoint, I would be very upset if someone was going into the planet and I'm the planet and stealing things out for bad reasons.
Listen, if this was Yellow Jackets, the beef that would be happening to people would be very, a very different kind
very
of beef.
Very different beef.
Yeah. So, you know, it's okay. It's compared to Yellow Jackets.
But I mean, I have to say there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah. I think that the piece for me at the moment is like the reason why I'm like hung up on, I think that there's somebody who has to be alive, who is involved in some way and is still alive and can either like be arrested or killed, I think. And I think that reveal has to be satisfying enough to warrant like feeling really, I mean, maybe not. I was going to say feel good about the end of the show. Maybe this is a show that doesn't maybe want us to feel good. It wants us to sit with the idea that like people come to indigenous cultures and ruin them by building mines. And that's just what happens. And that's reality.
However, sometimes, this might be different.
Yeah. But I think for me, it's like, I guess Kate is like the representative of the mine. Her husband is alluded to, because that like Danvers slept with him. But like, if it turns out the mine, that's what I said on the pod, I think on Sunday, and it's like, I think I said like, oh, it's too bad Anders Lund has already died, which like, if he's like one of the big bads, like if he killed Annie or covered up Annie's death or whatever, then like, I say it's too bad that he died, because like, where is the like resolution at the end for like the cathartic moment of like, we found out what happened to Annie, but then he just died in a hospital bed, like and gave a cryptic warning to Navarro. Like, is there, what can Navarro get out of that moment if she does come out of it alive?
That was a moment of possession.
Could be. Yeah. Yeah.
I would argue.
Yeah. So for me, I think like, I certainly think like, I guess it could be Kate. I think that Kate has seemed like, you know, she does seem like not great, but also like, I also feel like a lot of her hate towards Danvers is like somewhat justified, that her husband is the woman that her husband cheated. And like, yeah.
It just makes me think like, is there a bigger story there? I have no idea. I don't think it's Kate per se, but I think the mines, there's something more to the mines.
But then who, I think my point is like, who represents the mines?
I have no idea.
No, it's okay. I think because I think it's totally, we've had this idea that like the mines have been contaminating. It's still a popular theory on the Reddit that like people like can't really leave it. They're like, I know it like doesn't, for me, the piece that I rule out, like that piece is that there's only a few people who we've seen act in abnormal ways, which is Raymond Clark, Julia, and Navarro are the people I would put into, and Otis, I guess. These are the people I would put into, like, they're acting way different than everyone else. Like, when we see the research stations in episode, the researchers in episode one, they're not, they don't seem like they're contaminated by a hallucinogenic poison, you know?
Just the, at the end, yeah, just this,
it was just Clark. Raymond, who's yeah. Raymond. Yeah. Yeah. So, right. So there's only a few, and I, again, I think all these people are either like haunted by death, or like Otis seems to have been like, subject to some version of what the research stations men were tortured by. So the idea that like everybody's poisoned, I don't really buy into that theory. I do buy into the theory that like something has specifically happened to these people. So then when what's the moment at the end where we're like, aha, it's this. And like, yes, it definitely could be like, and all the people who did it already died, you know, but Hank is still the person I'm like, that dude covered something up. I was gonna say earlier you said something like you're not sure what's coming, but we all did know that Hank's bride-to-be was not coming on the plane.
Totally.
Right? Only person who didn't know was Hank. Yeah. Okay, well then let me throw out this, because I think the other person we should be seriously talking about is Rose. And Xanadial Tom, I think is how you pronounce your name on Twitter, apologies if I got it wrong, is like fully like, I don't trust Rose. And the more I think about it, the more I think it's fair. I think there's a few things here. One, that's not her real name. Rose Agnew is not her real name. She is also professor of something. And Dr. Rand was like, I wish we knew what it was. And I was like, yeah. I wonder if we didn't know because it doesn't matter, or I wonder if we know because it very much matters that she is as involved in the research station, or more involved maybe than we could ever imagine. The other piece is she threw a very fancy dinner. And although she seems like she's very like self-sufficient, and who knows, she may have had a well-paying job that she saved a ton of money for. The other theory, Marissa, is that there is an individual who has been on the receiving end of Hank Pryor's payments, and it is one Rose Agnew. What do you make of this theory?
Whoa, I could see that. I could see that.
She's ghost. I guess she's literally not ghosting. She did ghost him. She is a ghost, and she ghosted him at the airport.
Yeah, yeah. That's
pretty good, man.
Yeah, I mean,
so she's not using her real name.
She's not, but like,
she's here. She's an outsider, seemingly, who pretends so that she's an insider. A murderer? I don't know what I make of this.
I mean, she's definitely, there's definitely something up with her. A part of me is like,
so
not the Andor lady.
A revolution. What I wonder is, could she be a representative of the mind? So could we find out that she's like not a professor? She's actually attached to the NGO that Pete, who gets a lot of credit for being the, I know Danvers is like maybe the smartest detective. No, nobody works harder than Pete Pryor.
Yeah, for real. And sacrifices.
Yes, for sure. Could we uncover that Rose is connected to the mind in a way that like she's profiting from it? It benefits her, and actually Annie dying, not the worst, for whatever, like, not bad to have that covered up because she was a mind protester.
Then why would she bring everyone out to say, hey, look at these bodies from the...
Because I don't know if, because I think I, okay, here to tie my theories together, and I'm going to lock this in as my official theory.
Okay.
Which is that when people die, some people have a supernatural reaction to that person dying, and how that happens, it's real or it's not real, doesn't matter. Raymond Clark, so Annie dies because there is stuff that the mind and the researcher are both involved in that people, they don't want anybody to see. Annie is figuring it out and finds it out, and she is murdered and killed. So it's the research state, or like some version of like somebody involved with the research, whether that's like Oliver, and this is why Oliver decided to like, oh, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm gonna leave. They kill Annie. Raymond now, over the course of the months, is trying to see Annie. He's seeing Annie. He's trying to figure out, what is she trying to tell me? Rose says there's three reasons why people visit you. They want to bring you with you, they want to tell you something, or they miss you.
Right.
He's trying to figure out, this is why he has like cult rituals and bones and all this stuff. And eventually he thinks, what she's trying to tell me is I need to kill all the, it's these people who killed her.
Revenge. Yeah.
We're getting revenge. He performs ritual sacrifice to get rid of them. He launches them out, makes them fold their clothes. They go out, they die. He's very connected with Annie, who the folding of the clothes might be like similar to like, is this a like, nobody's really saying this on the show, so I don't know how much that counts, but like, anyway, Raymond kills them. He like brings them out and they're all dead. And the reason now, like, Rose knew that Annie was murdered, and so she was coming, and so Raymond is a psychopath who like killed all these people, but she's not really trying to help the investigation much. She's just, she's not going to Navarro. Navarro's coming to her to talk to her. And she, she's like, yes, sometimes you see ghosts. And, you know, Travis happened to see all the dead people from them. And like, it sucks that they died, but like, we'll just bring in new research stations once they like, and nobody ever investigates this stuff. Nobody cares what's happened. None of the family of the research stations have called or asked. Nobody cares that all these people died. So like, they're just going to, and it's like, what happens here? People just die. And they, and so who cares? The world is falling apart at the seams. I'm just going to make money while I can. That's my, like, how that's, Rose is implicated.
Yeah. Spiel. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. I was like, very 2024 of Rose. I feel like there's definitely more to her. I could see her being connected to the mine, and I could see her kind of just sitting back and watching all of this happen and enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last thing I think we should theorize on, which is, what's the Night Country, Marissa? What is it? Everyone's there.
Let me tell you, this is what I saw this in the notes, and I was like, oh my gosh, I think that's the name of a season of True Detective. And then I was like, oh, it's the season of True Detective.
I saw some stuff on Reddit that's like all these memes of people being like, it's like, Otis, where is he? He's like, he's in the Night Country, and you are the True Detective, and you sign up on HBO for $9.99 a month. Like, it's just like a full, like, you know, Leo pointing at the screen. We got to get the name of the show in. Yeah. But what's the Night Country? What is it? What is it?
Well, okay. It's said in reference to where Raymond Clark is, right?
Raymond, like, he said, Raymond's in the Night Country. They're all in the Night Country.
They're all, did they say they or we?
I'd have to go.
I think it's a we.
Here, I'll look at my notes. Let me pull them up.
I think it's like the changing of the, it's kind of like when the White Walkers, spoilers for Game of Thrones, White Walkers reach the wall.
So he says they're all in the Night Country now.
They
are
all.
He says he's hiding in the Night Country, and then they're all in the Night Country now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, the Night Country's dark. That much I know. But I think it has to do, it's with the spiral, maybe, like, and you know, all the supernatural.
Oh my
stuff.
God! If the mines are in the shape of a
spiral,
they look at the maps and they're like, they're in a perfect spiral.
Oh yeah, because we're waiting on the maps from one of Danvers's.
Just got a shout out once again. I did it on the recap, but when that man stands up and he's so flushed that he hits his head on the light, it's one of the best little character beat notes, like design, like set design I've seen. It's so good, so good.
Well done. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
I don't know. Grace, what do you think the Night Country is? I mean, it's Alaska?
No, I think it's, well, I think it's the, I think specifically what Otis is referring to, I think it's the mines, that there is bad stuff happening. Well, and I don't know exactly, like, it's where Annie died. We hear like a hatch. There's clearly like a generator in there. Like, we know that that's because the power gets cut. Like, I think it's just the mines that they're going to get, like these cave systems that were mapped out that are being used because they're dangerous. They're seemingly dangerous to go into. People don't really go to them.
Right.
That's where people who are affiliated with the mine and the research station were up to no good. Whatever they're doing, whatever they're doing that like Annie was investigating and finding out, that's where some of that stuff is it?
Yeah, probably.
I don't think all of the research station people were involved in. I think it's like probably like Anders, and he looped in Oliver, and Oliver decides like, F this, I'm out, you know, like not doing this anymore.
I really did want it to be the name of another True Detective like series, and that it to like, I was like gonna go find clues in that series. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a callback.
You're like, season two was Night Country.
Yes, exactly. And then I was like, oh no, that's this one. No. I have a feeling we'll find out. That much I know as well.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm locking in my I'm gonna fully lock in my Raymond, the miners kill, not the miners, the some, you know, the Annie is killed by Yeah, mine adjacent things. Rose knows about it. Rose is actually involved with the NGO and the mine operation. And then Raymond, in trying to wake Annie and decipher what she wants him to do, kills the research station people. Rose is the catharsis moment of, like, Rose was involved in the Annie stuff, and that's it. And we're going to find Raymond alive as well, I presume. He's still out there. So that's what I think is there. So I guess it's changing. I think that is probably changing officially what I did last week. I'm going to have to go and look. So I think that locks me in at a three pointer. If I can, if I get that, I'm going to keep Jess's the same. She got to change next week. If she would like to change in the week, I'll let her do that. But for now, we'll keep her guess. Would you like to lock in a 3-point guess?
Well, I need to know what Jess's is first.
Oh, sorry. I will let you know what Jess's is. I believe it is also that Raymond, I believe, killed. Let me see my notes.
Well, let me think.
Yeah, you think.
Let me think. Okay. So I think, Grace, yours is very plausible.
Uh-huh.
However, what is a game if someone doesn't make the most ridiculous theory, right?
Well, Sarah, like, Carradine, I believe, has already given the most ridiculous theory.
Okay, so. Fair. So I'm going towards the Sarah Carradine route. I think...
Oh, she guessed that Raymond Clark, who has mental illness or poisoning, takes them hostage.
Clark's at the heart of this for... both of you.
I did say last year, I think I get to keep my guess, other than I'm adding Rose, which we can debate. I can debate this with Jess actually. Yeah. I said Raymond kills him in the station as a ritual to see Annie. So that was my, he's ritually seeing it. That's my guess. So yeah.
I think it is a combination of things. I think there's some sort of supernatural entity at work that is motivating people to do bad things.
It's the she. She's awake. She's making.
Yes, it's the she. Which, by the way, it could be the he. Like, we don't have to have it be a she. And but also, like, the it was all men in the yeah. station that died. So, I guess I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But I was trying to pay attention to, like, who is seeing ghosts versus who isn't, to see if there was something to be said on that front. But I think it has to do, I don't really know where else to go other than people are being possessed by some supernatural force and killing each other. I don't have enough to, like, I really want to know what killed those guys in the ice.
Yeah. Well,
the bodies are in Anchorage or something still,
Can I tell you, I should have done this at the beginning. Yeah, what? They got shipped to Anchorage. That this week, the episode is actually dropping early.
Oh my gosh.
On Max because of the Super Bowl. Episode 5 will drop on Friday at 9 p.m.
saves us Eastern. Again.
That's right. 9 p.m. Eastern. Amanda and I will have a recap right after the episode airs on Max. Jess and I will probably keep our regular time, a sort of Tuesday evening recording time for a deep dive, to give people as much time as possible to watch the episode and then theorize along with us, because it'll be the penultimate episode. So we're going to keep our regular recording time. I believe Versus will be the same next week as well, but they may come out early TBD, I guess, on that. But yeah, an early release drop because of the I guess people watch the Super Bowl a bunch, I guess. They're not releasing Curb Your Enthusiasm, really, which I think is probably because Larry David beat up Elmo, I think. Probably.
That was shocking. But also, they drop all the commercials early, so why do you...
Oh, I ranted about this. I don't know if you saw my rant in the off-topic thread of the television thread. That's like, they're not Super Bowl commercials if you release them before the Super Bowl. I get that it's basically like Zed came in and was like, yeah, it's capitalism. I was like, I know it's capitalism, Zed, but like, oh, it's so annoying.
And then, that being said, the Paramount Plus ad was pretty good.
I mean, it's very good. I don't, is that a Super Bowl commercial though? Is
yes.
So what the, come on. I know. Whatever. Anyway.
Anywho. Anyway. Yes, it'll be great to get some night country before some Super Bowl country.
Yeah. Can I add one more thing that is so piqued my interest of it? Is like, Amanda came on, I think, last week. It was like, so like Navarro and Danvers definitely like had a relationship, right? And it's like, whoa. Ooh. Yeah. Have you heard this? What do you think? What do you make of that? She knows where the cans go. She knows where the cans go.
Yeah. She does know where the cans go. I could see that.
I think
also see, like,
yeah.
It's also been weird knowing what we know about Jodie Foster now, to see her like in that. Yeah. So I hope for her.
I thought it was very funny. Yeah. Early in the season where she's like looking, kind of giving like a, you know, like not a disproving look, but a like, oh, your life's a little bit harder because you're queer, like to her daughter, you know, to Leah, when Leah's like rubs shoulders with like the girl that she was sending pictures with. And Danvers kind of like gives her a look that I feel like is like,
yeah.
Oh, that okay, yeah, like don't be stupid, like you know, don't you know, just yeah. You know, yeah, figure, you know, whatever. Yeah, it's very fun to think.
I about, think her character, yeah. I hope by the end, like for lack of a better term, is woke on some things by the end of it. Like,
we didn't really talk about the drinking. I agree that it's like it's the show is like not making it easy to be like, you go, Liz.
Yeah, I know. So,
every week I'm hoping you want like character progression of her being like oh, maybe it was all an act, like her race, you know, it's like nah, she's just like racist and a drunk driver.
But if Jodie Foster, I mean, it does come from trauma to like yes trauma or capitalism, the root of many things.
Yeah. Yeah, if Jodie Foster took this role
to amplify Navarro's story, like she, I don't like expect there to be any good resolution in her character by the end of it, but I can also see it as her way of like speaking to the audience of like, don't do this, like I'm Jodie Foster, don't be me in this situation.
Yeah, she's a bit of a robot. She apparently came in and was like, I don't think I'm like Liz, and we probably need to rewrite Liz a bit to make her more of a character. So
I'm getting big, yeah, that's where the mayor of Easttown vibes come for me. She's giving me very a mayor of that. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and deep diving.
Thanks for having me.
We're like Tassal Research Station. We're deep diving. Hopefully we don't then die in the ice.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great. I would like to avoid that at all costs.
Well,
that and scary buildings.
Yeah. The dredges. You don't want to. I'll refund. I'll get you a refund.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks.
It says here you get like a free drink voucher at night. You
want, I mean, no? There are drinks other places.
Oh, okay. All right. Well. No drinking like the dredges out there. All right. Well, yes. Marissa, where else can people find you? What are you up to?
What am I up to? These days, I'm over on One Indescribable Podcast trying to watch Pretty Little Liars.
Oh.
But I'm only watching the previously ons to these episodes.
Yeah.
So I have really no idea what's going on in Pretty Little Liars, but I'm trying to put it together a good minute 30 at a time. So we'll see. I'm over there with Adam Lindy and Todd. He is guiding us through. Todd has watched it all and we have not.
Oh, that's
so,
okay. That's
yeah. So that's been a fun little choose your own adventure project that I'm on. And then anything else I'm up to, you can find me on Twitter at MarsBars, MarzBars. I will tell you there, but that's all I got.
Okay.
What about you, Grace? I'm sure you have more.
Not that much more. Aaron and I are talking movies each week. We talked about Argyle today, the sort of spy
crime. Oh, yeah, with the cat.
Yeah, with the cat and a huge cast that I think both of us liked more than we thought we would, but it maybe still wasn't totally our movie, I think, if that's fair to say. So check out our recap of that. And then on Full Spoiler Recaps, Jess and I just talked about Scavenger's Reign, which actually came out in like November, I think, it's a little slow. There's a lot of new shows like the star of Mare of Easttown, the Cape no not Cape Blanc. What's the star of Mare of Easttown? This
Kate
is
Winslet.
I watch TV. Yeah, Kate Winslet. She's in another she's in Expats, which just started, but it just started.
Yeah.
So it's not all out, so like, you know, there's stuff happening, but it's a little slow trickle. So we watch Scavenger's Reign, and next week we're going to talk about Boy Swallows Universe, which is on Netflix, an Australian show on Netflix.
Ooh.
So check that out. And that's really it for me, other than all the True Detective. And again, make sure you subscribe, postyourrecaps.com/True Detective. You can watch us on YouTube at youtube.com/postyourrecaps. For this week, for the special early edition of episode 5, we will be pre-recording our episode, the recap with Amanda and I. But for the finale, we'll be live right after the episode around 10 o'clock Eastern to watch it along with you and talk about what happened and hopefully figure out what happened and talk through it. So
just take it's okay if you don't know. Are you okay if you don't know?
Oh, this is a thing I'm trying to work, is being okay coming on a podcast being like, I don't know. I feel pressure to be like, provide the people who are listening an answer, but like, it's all a conversation. Sometimes sometimes I don't know.
You didn't write it.
The curse really got, like, I don't know if you watched The Curse, but I was like, really had to be like, I mean, I might not know what this means. So, All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Jess, she'll be back from the Night Country as we chat more about True Detective, as we detective truly.